I thank the Lord for his great mercy, love, and care, and his wonderful salvation. I have drawn crudely somewhat of a building, and the message this morning is on Walkabout Zion, and that is found in Psalms, the 48th chapter. And the 12th verse says, "Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Walk about Zion." So this is just a figurative term. But does this mean that we go to Jerusalem and we study the artifacts in a museum? Is that what that means, that verse, that walk about Zion? Is that what that is particular to? That we need to study the artifacts and examine the palaces there? Is that what that means? No. Don't need to do that. So what is Zion? What is Zion? It's the church of God. And what is the church of God made up of? Pillars, fine steps, a roof, concrete, marble. What is it made up of?
People.
You and me. Let's walk about Zion today. I've thought of the bulwarks. The pillars, you know, we have lots of songs to back this up. If you would be a pillar in the church of God, you must triumph over sin. Have you known some pillars in the church of God? Indeed. It says that we were compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. There are those who have gone on, and we can certainly see the effects of their lives, and we can examine, we can closely look at the things that they faced and the things that they went through, and they were victorious and they were indeed a pillar. We see those that are even active now that have overcome sin, and we look at that and it's glorious. And it says to mark it, to look at it, to rejoice in that great salvation and to exalt in his holy name. When I think about what the Lord has done for each one of us just in this setting here, it overwhelms me sometimes. I'm so excited to see what the Lord is doing in your life, and I'm excited to see what he's doing in my life. It's a walkabout Zion. It's a beautiful situation. It's holy. It's acceptable unto the Lord. And I thought of the bulwarks. It means a wall or a fortification, a fort. And you know, we have a song that says, "A wall of salvation upon every side, strong bulwarks presents to the foe. And in every conflict, though sorely he's tried, faith's shield will ward off every blow." That's just a pretty positive song right there, isn't it? And that's the way it is in our life. And I see it in you and I see it in me. And I'm so thankful for it, because when we see the victory that's there, it's not just your victory. It's my victory. It's our victory. And when we have trials, it's not your trial. It's not just my trial. It's our trial, because we want to make heaven our home. We want to be a part of that Zion. We want people to examine our lives and the history of us later on when we're dead and gone, and then say they were faithful. They had what it took. They had the Lord in their life, and we saw the result of that when they examine the ashes of our campfire, so to speak. When they go back and say, "You know, I remember Grandma and Grandpa, or I remember Father, I remember Mother, Brother, Sister," or just saints in the Lord. It's a wonderful place to be. And I rejoice in that, and I'm just excited about it. So I want us to go further to explain a little more about this Zion. Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter and the 18th verse. It says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Just that verse right there is just pretty exciting, isn't it? But it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So who's the head? Who's the head? Christ, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. It's not me. I'm not the head. It's not Brother Ed. It's not Brother Butch. It's not anybody but Christ. Christ is the head. So I'm going to ask you, how well did Christ do his job? How much did he give for the church of God? He gave all. He gave all. So that constrains us as the church of God to give our all as well. And when the all is given, all is all, and that's all there is, that filleth all in all, it's a working, beautiful situation. And I'm here to tell you, there always has been a church. There always will be a church. Because it said, when Christ comes, he is coming for his bride. And who is the bride? It's the church. There would be no need for him to come back if it dissolved. And I think sometimes people kind of get this little attitude of, will he find faith on the earth? Well, of course he'll find faith on the earth. Is he still God? Is he still Christ? That is to challenge us to be a part of that. To be a part of that. And I think sometimes the devil has his own little agenda. And he wants to be the naysayer here. So I'd like to go to Ephesians 2 and 13 to explain a little more about what Zion is. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. And I think that was, he was talking about the Gentiles and then the Jews. He came to preach peace to the Gentiles and the Jews that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Isn't that beautiful? Walking about Zion is just a pretty uplifting thing, isn't it? And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we have a perfect explanation of this building, this Zion. Christ is the head of it, and we are all members one of another. And that's beautiful. It's beautiful for situation. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad it includes you, and I'm glad it includes me. That's precious to me. But there's a devil that's just not, he's not interested in that at all. And he has an agenda. So I want us to expose that just a little bit today. In Proverbs, the 29th chapter and the 18th verse, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And he would like more than anything else to taint your vision. That's why we're walking about it today. Christ did everything he was supposed to do, didn't he? And we have a cloud of witnesses that have done everything they were supposed to do, don't we? And we have those among us even now who are doing everything. So we have an established Zion. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But we have a devil who has the agenda. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So I'm going to take you back several years in my life. There was a situation, someone had a very devastating affliction and had been given so many promises, and we prayed to that end, and there was fasting and prayer. There was definitely active participation in carrying this burden, and the Lord chose to take them home to be with Him. And we had naysayers, and I was one of them. But I got properly chastised by the Lord, and I'm thankful for it. I'm so thankful. Because I was willing to, because we didn't see that healing in this life, we just thought, sure, it was going to be the healing to prove to the world that the Lord could heal this particular affliction. But it didn't happen that way. But I'm here to say, the saint got the ultimate healing. They got to go home to be with Him. So, that's like going to the finish line and saying it's not the finish line. So that's perfect. And I am so thankful for that, because they made it. They made it. This is the goal we all want. Sometimes it might be a short life. Sometimes it might be a long one. Well, sometimes it might be in between. But the Lord knows that. And our goal for each other and ourselves is to make it. And this saint had truly made it. But we were naysaying. I wasn't the only one. So what went wrong? So we started to do a little bit of examination, a little slicing and dicing of the situation. Well, the church is not what it should be. We don't see the healings that we used to see. Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
Yes. I have too. The people are just not as powerful as they used to be. We don't have the outreach that we should. If you notice, our congregations are shrinking. That's what the devil says, isn't it? So I'm going to tell you, lift your vision. Walk about Zion. It's beautiful for situation. The Lord's doing all that He is doing right. And Zion is still perfect. Now, let us press into it. Let us be a part of it. I have wondered at those kinds of sayings, and I've heard them, and I have actually, that situation caused many to walk away. And my heart grieved for that. And the Lord chastised me in that kind of thinking, because He told me, if I never done another healing, would I still be powerful enough to heal? I said, absolutely. And He said, if I never performed another healing, would you still trust me? I said, yes, I will. But He's done so many healings since then. He is in the healing business. And if He chooses to take someone and they're ready to go, I have just about decided that's just the final amen. That's glorious. That's celebration. That's the end we all want. And I was properly chastised. So, and I have discovered that those that have those kinds of feelings, usually, when I was having those feelings, I had a lack in myself is what it was. Because if you really get into it, it's a wonderful situation. It is beautiful to behold. It is there. It always has been there, and it always will be there. Now, do you want to be a part of that? Where is your vision this morning? I want it to look on Zion. If you remember when Moses lifted the serpent, the brazen serpent, because they were being bitten by fiery serpents, if they looked on the situation, what happened to them? They died. If they looked up to the brazen serpent, they lived. That didn't stop the fiery serpents. And I can't even imagine how hard it had to be if it was crawling up your leg and you're having to look away from that. But do you know, the devil still has the same kind of agenda. And he'll send spirits and it'll be so close it'll crawl up your leg, so to speak. But I want you to lift your vision. and see Zion. I want you to be a part of it. I want you to dig into it. I want you to partake of Zion. I want you to raise your vision. Because it says where there is no vision, the people perish. And I have found that. Those that said those things went away searching for something else. And do you know? It damaged them. They perished spiritually. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So it said the bulwarks. And if you notice, the bulwarks are the doctrines, are the commandments, are the things that protect us. Those are things we can thank the Lord for. Do you know how much grief we are spared by obeying the commandments of God? Yes. It's a safe place, isn't it? It's a fortress. It's a bulwark. And if you notice, David, the psalmist David, he rejoiced in that over and over. How many times does he say throughout his psalm that he says, I thank you for your statutes. I thank you for your law. I love your commandments. And when we can get to those places and say, Lord, I love thy kingdom. I want to be a part of it. What can I do? So that brings me to a challenge that I want to leave with you. I wonder what kind of church would the church be if every member was just like me? How many souls would be saved today if it all depended on what I say? I wonder how many prayers would my Lord have to answer if all that he heard came from me? I wonder what kind of church would the church be if every member was just like me? So, if there is a lack, look within yourself. Because the church has already been established and it's already doing everything right. I thank the Lord for that. It also said, how many times have I said I love Jesus and turned a deaf ear to a need? How many times have I said I'm a Christian, but never one soul did I lead? How many luxuries have I passed by to have more to give to the Lord? Jesus has promised, as long as I live, from now on I'm going to do more. It also says, no wonder my pastor has so many burdens I never did offer to bear. No wonder the members have bowed down with sorrow I never did offer to share. No wonder the heathen are dying in sin. No wonder the missions are lack. My heart is so cold and I've lost my first love, but Jesus, I'm on my way back. I want that to be our testimony. What kind of church would my church be if every member were just like me? How many souls would be saved today if it all depended on what I say? I wonder how many prayers would my Lord have to answer if all that he heard came from me? I wonder what kind of church would my church be if every member were just like me? Be encouraged to walk about Zion and see the glory of it. Press into it. I have noticed that. Have you ever heard your children say, at the supper time, I'm bored? Have you heard that? We didn't say it very loud because we were put to work if we said it. So, if you find a deficiency, get involved in the Lord. Get involved in His Word. Get involved in the battles that are around us. Get involved in praying for salvation. Get involved in carrying the burdens of the saints. Get involved. And I tell you, when you're busy, you don't have time to be dissatisfied and discontent. That's what I found out. What kind of church would our church be if every member was just like me? I desire you pray for me.